Pirkei Zeh Eliezer, Perek Chav Gimel. We're holding in the middle of the Perek. We sort of skip the story in the middle, and then we'll finish off that story. And then what is printed in most of our Pirkei Zeh Eliezer as the beginning of Perek Chav Dalet, according to the Higer edition of Pirkei Zeh Eliezer, is really supposed to be the end of Perek Chav Gimel. And you'll see that it's, in a way, it's a connection to Perek Chav Gimel, and Perek Chav Dalet is a completely different topic. So we're up to the words Matzah Noyach. Basically, sometime after the story of the Mabul, we're going to talk about this story of Noyach getting drunk and then getting castrated or whatever happened to him exactly. And we'll speak about the different sons of Noyach, etc. Now, just interestingly, the Radak in Parshas Noyach asks a question. He says, why in the world does the Torah tell us this story of Noach planting the vineyard and getting drunk? What's the point of it? So he says, there's two reasons why the Torah tells us this story. The first is like this. The first is, why later on in the Torah we're going to see that Canaan and his descendants are cursed. You're not supposed to, we're going to see by Avram Avinu that he dafka made sure that his son didn't marry a Canaanite, and Rivka made sure that Yaakov didn't marry a Canaanite, etc. Right? So why is it that these people from Canaan are so bad and so evil? Where does that come from? That they're cursed and they're evil? Where do we see the sherish of that, the source of it? So therefore we're going to bring this story to show this is why Canaan got a certain curse from his father, from Hashem, etc. That's one point. And the other point is to warn a person the dangers of alcohol abuse. If a person gets drunk, then it messes up his brain and he can't properly focus on what he's doing and what he's supposed to be doing. And he does things that are not necessarily things that he would be doing if he was in the right frame of mind. He says the first person who got drunk, he ended up, you know, exposing himself and not even realizing what he did to himself. Right? So the Radak says that's why the Torah speaks about this story.
Why did he get drunk to begin with?
Oh, so we'll see in a moment. Says the Medrash, Matzah Noach Gefen Shegorisha V'yotza Migan Eden V'ashkeleisaha Ima. Noach found a vineyard, a grapevine that was thrown out of Gan Eden and came out of Gan Eden, and it had already fully developed clusters with it. So what did Noach do? Not only perisaha v'achal. So he took from the fruits of that vine and he ate from it. V'chomaraisam b'liboy. And he liked it. He liked those grapes so much that he desired them in his heart. V'nata mimena kerem ba'aretz. And then he planted a vineyard in the land. Bay b'yoyim nistagsegu perisaha. On that day that he planted the vineyard, the fruits blossomed and they came out and they were already ripe. Tachsiv, and says the pasuk, "Biyoyim nitech tisag segi." It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. On the day that you planted it, that's when it sprouted. Shemi mena yayin v'niskal b'seichel ha'oil. He drank from the wine from that vineyard, from that vine, and then he exposed himself in his tent. We'll get to the next part of the story in a few moments. But this is the first part of the story. So the obvious question is, why is there a grapevine coming out of Gan Eden that Noach found? Like, what's this grapevine coming from Gan Eden? Like, why did Hashem make a grapevine come out of Gan Eden and Noach found it? What happened over here? That's the opening question. So all the Mefarshim, the Zohar, in a few places, by the Targum Yonasan, also brings down this thing that the vine comes from Gan Eden. It's also in Targum Yonasan. The Zohar, in a few places, and other Mekubalim, they all say the basic idea of this story was that after Hashem destroyed the world, so now we're starting anew. And He wants to give mankind a chance to go back on the chait of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon, there's an opinion in the Gemara that the fruit that he ate from the Eitz Hadas was a gefen, was a grape. Or maybe the wine from the grape. So Hashem was giving mankind a chance to fix up the mistake that they did by the chait of Adam Rishon. So that's why Hashem brought this vine into the world from Gan Eden to give Noach a chance that maybe we'll fix up what Adam Rishon did wrong. But the problem is that he didn't. And we're going to, and as the Mekubalim say, that the chait of Adam Rishon didn't have a tikkun in the world until Avraham Avinu came about. But Noach wasn't the one to do it. He wasn't the one that was able to fix it. He was nichshal in the same way that Adam Rishon was nichshal. We said the lashon over here in the Medrash is v'chamareisam beliboy. He desired them in his heart, just like we find by Adam Rishon that they said that the eitz was nechmad lahaskil. It was a desirable fruit. So just like Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so too Noach ate from this grape. And there's a lot of other parallels over here. The Medrash even the Radal even brings from the Rikanti, one of the early Mekubalim who wrote a Pirush on Chumash, that when the Rikanti quotes this Pirkei d'Eliezer, so it adds an extra line that we don't have in it. It says, "Motel Noach Gefen Shigarsha Mi Gan Eden." Noach found a grapevine that was sent forth from Gan Eden. Omer Leah Kodesh Baruch Hu Noach. Hashem said to Noach, "Loi Dai L'Chol Lilmaid Me Adam Rishon Shloi Garam Le El Yain." Isn't that enough for you to learn from Adam Rishon that what caused this downfall was wine or grape or whatever? So you should also put to your mind and realize that that's not what you're supposed to be doing. But alas, that's what Noach did, and he drank from it, and he ended up exposing himself in his tent. Now, the next part of the story is...
Can you ask a question that, so what? It's in his tent. Let him be in his tent.
What?
And you expose yourself in public, that's a problem. And you expose yourself in private, that's the problem. What's the significance of him being in his own tent? That's where he should be exposed. Meaning, he was exposed the wrong way, but he could have just been getting undressed. He wasn't just getting undressed and getting into other clothes. But what was the significance that he's in his own home?
I don't know. I remember one time when I was a bachur in the mirror, there was a certain guy. I remember who it is because every once in a while I bump into him and it's very embarrassing. This guy got very drunk. He came into the Beis Midrash one night, late at night, not wearing proper clothing. So it's like.
But that was the
Beis Medrash. See, that was the Beis Medrash. This is how maybe the oil over here means his Beis Medrash. I don't know, but even oil, I mean,
it doesn't need to be added to the story. Just he exposed himself.
Yeah, even that. There's a certain a human being. You don't walk around in your house naked, right? Why? Nobody's around. So what's the problem? Well, fine. But I'm saying even in your house, you don't. That's not something that human beings do. You never have guests. He has a bunch of kids, right? He didn't have guests. Everyone was dead. No, he has kids. He has a family. I hear what you're saying. But even if like technically it's not a problem, it doesn't sound like something that a human being does.
By the way, just to add, not to add to the it says ha'ohel, not ohelo. Could also just be ha'ohel. There must be some significance to this ohel as opposed to his tent. It's not his tent. Yain v'nizgal v'sof ha'ohel. Maybe there's something there that there was some. Maybe it is the Beis Midrash or something specific. It's not just his tent. It's not his own
person.
It's somewhere very, very, very specific.
It could be. I mean, the pasuk says "Vayischa b'seich ahaloi" in his tent. That's the pasuk. It spells ahaloi with a hey at the end. The targumim say the goy mashkene in his dwelling.
Rashi makes a comment on that.
Rashi does make a comment on that.
Rashi says it's spelled with a hey and not a vav. Yeah. To say, oh, hello. I forgot why. It's a rune. It should be, oh, hello. Really it's pronounced, oh, hello.
Yeah.
Some significance to that.
Rashi says that it's a remnant to the golos of the Saras of Shvatim that went into golos because of wine.
Oh,
okay. I don't have exactly where he sees that in the word, oh, hello, but okay.
Because of the hey.
Why? What? Shaychus?
You should say, oh, hello, with a vav.
Right.
Why is it a hey? And yet it's pronounced, oh, hello.
Right.
That's how the art scroll said that he's coming.
But it's done because it changed? Nothing to do with the fact that it's a hey itself. The hey itself is...
It's spilled. It's a remnant to...
Oh, here.
I think... Yeah,
something like that. What?
Okay, so... I don't remember.
The next part of the story here, I bought a mushroom for the ilam. The next part of the story... is like this. It says in the pasuk, "Vayar Chom Avi Chanan Eitzar Vasaviv." Chom, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Now, why does it say that he's the father of Canaan? We have to discuss. Vayagel Shayacho Bachutz, and he told his two brothers, and his two brothers Shem and Yefes came, and they covered their father. They were walking backwards, and they didn't see their father. And then Noach woke up, and it says Vayeda Eitzar Asher Asalai B'nai HaKotam, and he knew what his youngest son did to him. B'nai HaKotam. The Shaila is, what did they do and who did it? It's a whodunit question. Right? So,
how do you know Dr. Snyder?
So, wait, one second.
I wasn't born yet.
One second. We'll get to that in a moment. I know, and then his reaction is, the Noach said, Arur Knan Eved Avadim Yeh Le'achav. So I guess. First of all, what happened to Noach? So the Medrash says two pshatim. What happened either was that he was castrated, and the reason why Noach would be castrated, everyone agrees that it was either Chom or Canaan that did it. That's the spoiler. We'll get to exactly all the mepharshim who said what, but everyone agrees it was either Chom or Canaan that castrated Noach. The shaila is, why would they castrate Noach? Because they don't want Noach to give birth to a fourth kid. Either because, now the world is going to be, the whole world is going to be split into three parts. If there's a fourth kid, it'll be split into fourth parts. So then, they're going to be getting less. So they want to get more. So they make sure that there's only three kids, not four kids. That's one shot.
The Rosh says something about, something happened to a Dan Rishon, that one killed the other one.
Yeah.
One son killed another one.
Cain killed Hevel, right? Cain killed Hevel. Because they were arguing over who would control the world.
Right.
Okay. And
so that was already, that was the shaila of half the world. And here it's the shaila of getting only a third, which is even less. So they, the imamish have to make sure, because otherwise you're losing more.
But it also had something to do with Adam
more potential.
Not having children, more children.
Yes. Right.
And also Noah.
So they realized that Chase was born.
But
afterwards,
right.
They realized,
then someone else is gonna take a different portion.
More than three.
So that would be the reason why to castrate him. The other mahalach in the Medrash is that they sodomized him. Why they sodomized him, I don't know why. No one says pshat. That's like a pure depravity. There's no reason behind doing such a thing. Maybe it could be in the ancient world that you showed your ownership over somebody by doing such things, but even that, it's just. But the point is like this.
But sodomizing is not removing a part of the person.
Right.
So it says that the Prophet says it's not explicitly
that. So what?
Something was removed.
No, he did something to him. It didn't say he was removed. Vayeda Esa Shev Soleil B'nai Chatim.
Yeah, Rashi said that. He brings all these
pshatim. Oh, Rashi brings these two pshatim. If it was, Okay, so who did it? It says that Chom saw. Chom, the father of Canaan, saw Ervas of it. Right? So, and then it says at the end, Asher Soleil B'nai Chatim, his youngest son did something to him. So in order to understand who what this means, the youngest son, so we'll have to first understand the birth order of the sons of Noach. Then we could try to get into saying, who does it mean, the youngest son? Now, before we get to the Pirkei de Eliezer, there's three explanations in the Rishonim exactly how to understand what happened here in the Pesukim. The first thing is like this. The Gemara in Mesachas Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Tes Amid Beis, brings the pasuk that Noach had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Or Yefes. So the Gemara says, what order are we talking about these three sons? What's this order, Shem, Chom, and Yefes? The Gemara thought at first that that's their birth order. Shem is the oldest, then Chom, and then Yefes. That's what the Gemara thought at first. And then the Gemara proves at the end that no, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is that it's going in order of wisdom. The Torah is listing them off in the order of their wisdom. So Shem is the most wise, then Cham, and then Yefes is the least wise. That's where the Gemara comes out. Then the Gemara brings a pasuk to support this, that when it's talking about the descendants of Shem, so the pasuk says, "Ulashem yulad gamhu perik yud pasuk chafalef avi kol b'nei ever, the father of all b'nei ever Achi Yefes HaGadol, the brother of Yefes HaGadol, Yefes who is the oldest. That's how you read the pasuk according to the Gemara, and also according to the way the Tamim works. It says Achi Yefes HaGadol. That's what the Gemara says. So it comes out that Yefes was the oldest in the Gemara. The Gemara proves that Yefes was the oldest from this pasuk, and the Gemara says that Shem was the youngest. So the birth order was Yefes, Chum, Shem. And that's the mahalach that Rashi goes with. Rashi in Chumash, Rashi in Gemara, in Sanhedrin, also in Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes. That's Rashi's mahalach going straight with the Gemara. That Shem, Chum, and Yefes is actually their birth order backwards. Really, the birth order was Yefes, Chum, and Shem. Shem was the youngest. Now Rashi explains that who did whatever was done to Noach? Who did it? It was Chum. Now Rashi is bothered with a question. If it was Chum that did it, so then why does the pasuk say that Noach knew Eitz Asher Asalei B'nei HaKatan, his youngest son? Rashi understood that Chum wasn't the youngest. Chum was the middle kid. Right? Shem was the youngest according to Rashi. So I can say B'nei HaKatan. So Rashi says B'nei HaKatan. Katan in this instance doesn't mean the youngest or the smallest. It means Habazui, the lowest of stature, the most disgraced son. That's what it means. That's how Rashi understands the pasuk. By the way, according to Rashi, that Chum was the one that did it. So why did Canaan get cursed? Chum was the one that did the action. So why Canaan get cursed?
Well, Canaan came from Ham.
Okay, so but Ham had a whole bunch of kids. Uvnei Ham put Mitzrayim, Kush Mitzrayim put to Canaan. He had a bunch of sons. So why Dafka Canaan of all his sons?
Rashi says this is the fourth son.
Rashi brings down that it's the fourth son. So he was trying to withhold Noach from having a fourth son, so his fourth son got cursed. That's one pshat. Rashi says that actually?
Yeah.
The other pshat that the Medrash says is a different pshat. That because Hashem gave a special bracha to Noach and his sons, he said pru revu milus oretz, so they got a special bracha. So vayivarech elokim es Noach ve'es banav, and he said to them pru revu milus oretz. They got a special bracha directly from Hashem. So Noach didn't want to curse Chum because Chum was directly blessed from Hashem. So then he's going against what Hashem said. Hashem gave him a blessing, and I'm going to give him a curse. So fine, I'm not going to curse him. I'll curse his son. But we're going to see later on in the parak that even though the words of the curse are that it's going on Canaan, but really he meant the curse to also go on Chum in general. He just didn't say it. Now, interestingly, I found this pshat brought in the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Lamed Vav, Simen Zayin. Now I found, interestingly, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, in one of the scrolls is called Pesher Bereishis, a commentary on Sefer Bereishis. It's known as, it's a really cool name, 4Q252. That's the scroll number, 4Q252, where it says in the scroll, brings the pasuk, Vayikatz Noach Meyena Vayeda Isa Shar Salai B'nai Akotan Vayayma Arur Knan Eved Avodim Yeh Le'achav, brings the pasuk in that we just said. Actually, it spells a bunch of words differently, but it's the same pasuk. And it says in the scroll, "V'loy kilo es Chum ki im b'nai ki berach kel es b'nei Noach." And he didn't curse Chum, rather the son of Chum, because Hashem blessed the sons of Noach. So that's why he didn't curse Chum himself. He cursed the sons of Chum. Fine. That's Rashi's mahal. Nishmak, I found in the.
That's, it's been a while afterwards, after the flood, for Chum to have had four kids. He didn't have any ark.
So I didn't want to get into that machlekes, but it is machlekes. The Chizkuni in Bereishis Tes Yud Ches brings two pshatim. If Noach's grandkids were already born when they were by the teva, by the mabul, and the Netziv also in the Hamak Dover Perik Tes Pasuk Tes also says that Noach's grandkids were also there in the teva. But the Pashtas is it was only his kids. We never said anything about his grandkids yet. The Pesukim in Parshas Noach don't say anything about grandkids. But there is such a mahalach that they were already born.
The one before the Mabul?
What?
The Ark, they didn't do anything.
The what? The Chizkuni says that Canaan's mother became pregnant with him while they were in the Teva. Because the Gemara says that Chom was Mishamish in the Teva, even though he wasn't allowed to. So the Chizkuni says from that Canaan was born. But we don't have to. The truth is, we don't have to get into this. Because it doesn't say anywhere that this story happened right after the Mabul. That's why I sort of like I split it into like this week as opposed to saying over this last week, even though in the order of the Medrash this was earlier, but we could split it up because it's not muchach anywhere that this happened right after the Mabul. I used to think that this happened right after the Mabul myself, and then I spoke to some people. They said that like, who said it says it right after? So
it takes a couple of years to make
one. No, but once we're saying that the whole thing was a nace anyways, But that's Rashi's pshat. Rashi's pshat was that it was Chom that did it, and Chom is called Bnei HaKatan because he's the Bnei HaBazui, and Canaan was cursed because Hashem didn't want to curse Chom directly. Fine. That's Rashi's pshat. The Ramban says a different pshat. The Ramban sort of goes halfway with the Gemara and halfway not with the Gemara. The Ramban understands that, like the Gemara, that Yefes was the oldest, but not like the Gemara, that the Gemara says Shem was the youngest. The Ramban says no, Chom was the youngest. And then the psukim work out very well. The Chom was the one that did it. That the Ramban explains that Chom was the one that did it, and therefore it says Bnei HaKatan. It's going on Chom because he was Noach's youngest son. And then why did Canaan get cursed? You said the same thing as Rashi, that the fourth son or the Varta, that he didn't want to curse if Hashem directly blessed him. That's the Ramban's pshat. But the Ibn Ezra has a different pshat. The downside of the Ramban's pshat is that it goes only halfway with the Gemara. It doesn't go completely with the Gemara. Okay, the Ibn Ezra's pshat, the Ibn Ezra one has a different pshat, and the Radak also brings such a tzad to explain it this way. The Ibn Ezra understands that the birth order was Shem, Chom, and Yefes. That Shem was the oldest. Chom was the next oldest, and Yefes was the youngest. So when the pasuk says Vayar Chom Avi Chanan, Chom saw, right? But Chom, who was not the youngest, according to the Ibn Ezra, Chom was not the youngest. He wasn't the one that did anything to Noach. What happened was, the Ibn Ezra is going to add in some like words that we don't see in the pasuk. What happened is that Chom only saw. It says Vayar Chom, and by the way, the word Chom in Aramaic Chama means to see. In Targum Unklus it says Vayar Chom V'Chaza Chom, he saw, and in Targum Yonasan it says V'Chama Chom, Chom saw. So the word Chom is related to the word Chama, which also means to see. Chom saw, but all he did was see. And then he told his brothers about it, and somehow his son, Chom's son Canaan, heard about it, and he's the one that did what happened to Noach. It was Canaan that did it. Now when it says Bnei HaKatan, his youngest son, it's not talking about Noach's youngest son, but rather Chom, who saw Noach, his youngest son. Right? And then why did Noach curse Canaan? Because he was the one that did it. That's what the Ibn Ezra says.
That makes sense.
Now, the Ramban brings us Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban writes, second, where is this Ramban? V'hine ozav Rabbi Avram darkei b'pshutei amikra. Rabbi Avram, the Ibn Ezra, left his, forsook his path of going in the Pasha Pshat and the Pasuk, v'heichel he novei shkarim, and he began to prophesy his falsehoods. So the Ramban is saying that the Ibn Ezra is a novei sheker, because like Meichi tasted this whole thing, that really was, the Ramban says that the Ibn Ezra is a novei sheker, because he's saying this Pshat, that it was really Canaan that did it, in order to fit it into the Pesukim. That's what the Ramban says. Now,
well, what did he say? Who did he say?
Well, the Ramban said that it was Chom that did it.
Chom.
And he said that Chom is the youngest son. which is like halfway like the Gemara, that Yafes was the oldest, but that instead of saying Shem was the youngest, he says the Chum was the youngest. That's what the Ramban was.
What about that you said that he doesn't curse what Hashem gave the prophet to?
No, so that's why Canaan was cursed instead of Chum. Everyone agreed, the Pasuk says that Canaan was cursed.
But according to Ramban.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, say like Rashi, that's the fourth son, or because he didn't want to curse. Okay, fine. Now we can see what the Pirkei de Eliezer says. Oh, by the way, there is a pshat in Midrashim that said that Noach did have a fourth son. It's Batan Seder Dairus, but we don't want to get into that.
His name, though?
You want to know what his name was?
I didn't have to ask you.
I wrote it down somewhere.
That's curious.
I have. The Marx brothers.
Yeah. Why did he have to be exposed for Ham or Canaan to do it?
Why did he have to be exposed for Ham or Canaan to do it?
Yeah, they were going to do it. They could have, you know, addressed them themselves and done what they did.
Maybe it gave them an idea. It's right there in front of you. You don't have to. Half the work is done. Maybe, I don't know. I hear the question, I don't know. But maybe that's the answer. Okay, that's what the manager says. V'nichnas Knan, or V'nisgal b'saych ha'oyel, Noach was revealed inside the tent. V'nichnas Knan, Knan came, v'ra es ervas avi oviv, that's the girsa you have to say. He saw the nakedness of his father's father, his grandfather. V'kosha chut b'vrisay, and he tied a string around his bris milah, b'sersay, and he cut it off. V'yatza v'higid le'oviv, and he went out and he told his father. So Canaan did this, and then he told his father about it. This is different from the Ibn Ezra, who says that first Chum saw and told Canaan, and Canaan did it. Here we're saying that Canaan saw, did it, and then told his father, and then his father is going to see. But it's more or less the same thing as Ibn Ezra. Nichnas Chum umotza ervas aviv. Chum came in and he saw that his father's nakedness. V'loy sama liboy mitzvah kibud av, and he didn't put upon his heart the mitzvah of kibud av. It wasn't important to him. Yotza v'higi l'shnei achav bashuk kimisachik baviv. So he went out and he told his two brothers who were in the marketplace. What's the marketplace? Who was around already? Okay, it must be that this was already sometime after the Mabul and the world is already beginning to be repopulated. Kimisachek ba'aviv, as if he's laughing.
The Gemara brings Shuk as
a public area.
Public area, like the street.
Kimisachek ba'aviv, as making a mockery of his father. Goru boy echov, his brothers screamed at him. Chum's brothers screamed at him. Hulakles eksus imam, and they took a covering with them. V'holchulahem achiranis. And they walked backwards of the chisu es avihen, and they covered their father. Shinam at says in the pasuk, vayikach shem voyefes es a simla, and they took the simla, they took a covering, and they covered him. But
why can't the pasuk trap?
Yeah.
The yar kam. There is mamash a big problem with seeing your father naked. And that's why Shem v'Yafes behaved the way they did, and they walked backwards, it says, and they didn't, and they covered him. It just seems, why didn't the Chachamim or somebody say something like, that was the sin? Huh?
I
saw him.
I didn't see anybody that says that. You're right, if you just read the words of the Psukim, that's what it sounds like. He saw him. But then it says, "Esa shall also loy b'nai akatan." Sounds like he did something to him. That's probably where why Chazal were
found him. Cover him. He didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. Is not the same thing as he did something.
He doing was not covering.
Mistama, this is what Chazal saw, because it says that he did something to him.
But then what's so significant about the other brothers doing that
that
they did?
I know.
Going there and
so more or less, the Pirkei Avilezer is good the same shot as the Ibn Ezra. That it was first, that basically Canaan was the one that did it. Chum saw, whether he saw before or after, that's like a slight difference between the Pirkei Avilezer and the Ibn Ezra. But Chum saw, that's the Mefarish Pasuk. But Canaan is the one that actually did it. And therefore, Canaan is cursed because he's the one that did it. That's Ibn Ezra's pshat, basically. You know, the Ramban said that Ibn Ezra is a Navi Sheker, but the Radal says, why didn't the Ramban realize that it's the Beferish of Pirkei Avilezer? It's right here. We have it right here in the Medrash. Navi Sheker. It's coming from Chazal also. Okay. It's a pretty stark question on the Ramban, because we know the Ramban had Pirkei Avilezer.
Well, I think the Medrash says, this is why he got cursed. Canaan got cursed.
Why? What's the reason?
Because the Chum was supposed to get a kol, but it says before that by Baruch Hashem is a layer, so you can't put a kol in walking mochos. But really, the kavon was on Chum.
Oh, so we already spoke about that, and that works with the mahalach of Rashi and the Ramban. But Pirkei Avilezer is not going with that mahalach, because Pirkei Avilezer is saying that Canaan's the one that did it, and then that's why he got cursed. You're right. The Rashi and the Ramban say that Chum was the one that did it. So then the question is, why did Canaan get cursed if Chum's the one that did it? Now, what's interesting is like this. According to Pirkei Avilezer, you have to say that what it says is Benoy HaKaton, his youngest son, it means that Chum, it means that it's going on Canaan. Canaan was the youngest son of Chum. Just like Ibn Ezra said that Benoy HaKaton is going on Canaan, who was the youngest son of Chum. Because Chum was not the youngest son of Noach. How do I know that Pirkei Avilezer holds that Chum was not the youngest son of Noach? I mean, the Ramban says that he was the youngest son of Noach, right? Not like the Gemara that says Hashem was the youngest. So where am I coming from? I'm coming from a Pirkei Avilezer earlier that we learned in Perek Ches, when we were discussing Soida Ibur, the Soida of being Ma'aber Lashana. So we said that it went to Shem, and so we said Hashem was a Kohen, like we said in this week's parsha, that Malki Tzedek Melech Shalayim Hoytzi Lechem Meyoyin Vuhu Kohen Lekel Elyoyin, and we said Malki Tzedek is Shem, which it's not just Chazal that say it, Josephus also says that Malki Tzedek is Shem, Agav, Josephus, but that was Agav, but it says that, so we said that Shem was a Kohen, and the Medrash earlier in Perek Ches said, well, how do you know Shem was a Kohen? So it's because Shem was the Bechor. So where do you know that Shem was the Bechor from? So I'll tell you where you know, because it says in the Pasuk, Noach had three sons, Shem, Chum, and Yefes. Right? Now, the Gemara said that that's talking about the order of how smart they were, but not going in their birth order. Right? So the Gemara understood that's not the Pasuk. But the Gemara had a Havamina, which it seems that Pirkei Avilezer is going with that Havamina. The Gemara said that maybe it's their birth order. So yeah, if it's their birth order, Shem is the oldest, Chum is the middle, Yefes is the youngest. Right? So you know that Shem is the oldest, Chum is the middle, Yefes is the youngest. So what's Bnei HaKatan going on? It can't be going on Chum. You can't, Pirkei Avilezer can't learn like the Ramban. No. Therefore, Pirkei Avilezer had to explain that it was Canaan that did it. I'm sorry, Pirkei Avilezer understood that Bnei HaKatan can't be going on Chum. Right? Because Pirkei Avilezer is a Shem, Chum, and Yefes.
According to Rashi, it makes sense.
Oh, according to Rashi, fine, but we're not going with Rashi right now.
A buzzer,
right. So therefore, it seems that Pirkei Avilezer is l'shitasai. He learned that Shem was the oldest. So if you learn that Shem was the oldest, then Chum wasn't the youngest, because there's no way of saying that Chum was the youngest. There's no source to say it. So that's why Pirkei Avilezer is saying that Canaan was the one that did it. Okay. So what's Noach's reaction to this story? Vayikatz Noach miyena. Noach woke up from his wine. He regained his consciousness. Vayeda. As Asher Sulei Bnei HaKatan, and he knew what his youngest son did to him. Ve'eroi, and he cursed him. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Arur Kenoan, cursed is Kenoan. So Pirkei Avilezer is taking that pasuk at face value, that he's cursing Kenoan because that was the one that did it.
How do you know that Kenoan did it?
What?
How do you know that Kenoan did it?
Pirkei Avilezer is saying that if Kenoan was the one that was cursed, it would seem that he's the one that did it.
But how did
Or how did Noach know that Canaan was the one that did it?
Hey, you chicken.
How did he know? Now the truth is, if you look in the Pesukim,
there's so many people around that so few people around.
even without coming onto that. You could say that someone who saw it or knew realized that it was Knan that did it. But even without coming onto that, it never says in the Pasuk that Noach was sleeping. It seems that he was awake. He wasn't really all there. He was only like halfway there. Then Vayikatz Noach Meyenoi means when he was sobered up, then he realized what happened. He didn't forget what happened. He was there. What happened? There's just like there wasn't anything he could do about it because he wasn't thinking properly. But then when he came out from his drunken stupor, so then he realized what happened. He realized on his own.
How did he recover from the surgery? That's not something.
Dude, I don't know.
It could be that he
was in a hospital for a few weeks afterwards or whatever. Just the Pasuk and the Medrashim aren't talking about that.
It has to be that the one running the hospital and the doctors and everything is the same guy, like five guys around.
No, because we're saying that this happened after the Mabul, so it could be the world was already repopulated.
Olga's a doctor also.
That's what it means. Very good. All goes back to you, Ted. It could be, but I'm saying you don't have to come on to that. You could say that he was there. He saw what happened. There wasn't anything he could do about it. What?
The Ogre's a doctor?
Well, when you castrate somebody, right?
Yeah.
There are many ways of castrating somebody.
Yeah. So we said how he did it. No, we said how he did it. He took a string and he tied it around his bris, and then he pulled it really hard. I don't know. That's what they. It's similar.
But then he has to go to the bathroom. He has to be able to urinate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they did. It's just a bebrisoi. I know what they do with animals. They say that they, it could be like it's only a grumma. So in cases
they
when Cirrus is drabanan,
strangle it and make it. I think it make it unusable if you want to.
They tie like a rubber. They put a rubber band around a certain avarim, and then that like cut, around the testicles, I believe, and then that cuts the blood circulation from coming to it, and then like it falls off or something like that, and then it becomes unusable. And I seem to remember that is more makil in halacha because you're not allowed to be artzachem leisasu, says you're not allowed to castrate an animal. So I believe that in halacha it comes out that that's a little bit more makil than actually doing it straight out.
Right.
To do it like in a way that it's only a grama. I don't remember exactly what the nafkamina was. It was brought in Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Simon Hay. Yeah, by animals. It's really talking about humans, but then it also goes into animals.
The simon is about not having relations with
animals. Right. No. That's the simon about a sris, about a human being who is a sris, and then it's also to make a human into a sris, and then it talks about animals as well. Okay. Why did he curse him to be an Eved? So the Radal brings from the Das Kain and Balei HaTesis that when the Balei HaTesis quote this Pirkei de Eliezer, so it adds a little bit extra. Let's see if we can find this fast. Ma ra'a l'kelo b'nai, here it quotes the Das Akenim in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Hei. He brings B'Shem Pirkei de Eliezer, which we don't have in our Pirkei de Eliezer. It says, Ma ra'a l'kelo b'nai b'eved, what did Noach see fitting to curse his son that he should be an Eved? D'chsiv, because it says in the pasuk, Ben Yechabed Av Ve'Eved Adainov. It's a pasuk in Malachi. A son honors his father, and a slave honors his master. V'Hachi Pirusha. This is the explanation of the pasuk. Im Ben Yechabed Av Hareza Toiv. If a son honors his father, that's good. V'Im Lav. If a son doesn't honor his father, Yihia Eved La'Adainov. Then he'll be a slave to his master. So because he didn't honor his father, he became a slave to a master. That's how the pasuk. That's how the Das Akenim brings B'Shem Pirkei de Eliezer to understand why Noach cursed Cham that Chris Canaan, that he should be avodim to his brothers.
Im kavanim,
im kavodim. Yeah. No, but that also makes sense in a way, because we say if Klal Yisrael are doing what they're supposed to do, so then they're called banim of Hashem, and if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then they're like avodim. So it's the same idea in a way.
Yeah.
Okay. That's basically the end of the story.
Well, you're not hitting it. How come the other three sons are also of Ham are cursed? They're like looked bad upon.
Because Ham was not completely innocent. Because when let's say the way Pirkei de Beleza says it, that Canaan did it, and then he told his father. Right, and then his father came in, saw his father naked, and didn't loy sama li by mitzvahs kibud av. What did he do? His reaction was to go out to his brothers in the shuk and tell them about it and make fun of their father. So Ham wasn't so innocent himself, right? He didn't do a sirus or mishkav zachor or whatever. He didn't do that, but he wasn't so innocent. He should have covered his father right away, but he didn't. He told his brothers. His brothers covered the father, and that's why he himself is also guilty. Right. But so that's the end of the story. Now we're going to stop Perek Chav Dalet. As I mentioned before, in the Higger edition of Pirkei de Eliezer, so the first few lines of this Perek are actually the end of Perek of the previous Perek of Perek Chav Gimel. So we're going to attach this to Perek Chav Gimel, and then we'll see as far as we can get. Right. Perek Chav Dalet. Berach Noach Uvanov. Berach Noach Uvanov. Hashem blessed Noach and his sons. The Marzu, as in the word over here, b'matan Sehem, in their presence, to give them certain presents, gifts. Shneimer, it says in the pasuk, Vayivarech Elikim es Noach ves Banov. That's the real lashon of the pasuk. Hashem blessed Noach and his sons. And here, it says the word b'matan Sehem, in their gifts. But the Marzu said it earlier. V'hinchilam es kol ha'aretz, and Hashem bequeathed to them the entire land. Okay, so now we're going to go through the three sons of Noach and explain what they got exactly. Berach l'shem ulvanov shchayim v'noyim. Hashem blessed Shem and his kids. Shchayim v'noyim, black and beautiful. Okay, now that was just to confuse it. Be careful, this is being... Well, let's try not to say any racist comments, okay? But it's a delicate medrash over here, what's going on. First of all, Berach L'Shem Ulvanov, Rabbi Yomi Israel asked the question, like, he has a different gersa. It says, Berach L'Shem Ulvanov, Toivim V'Noim, good and beautiful. And he asks, how could Hashem give a bracha that they should be good? Good is not something that you get a bracha for. You're either good or you're bad. You decide on your own. You have bechira. Right? And we're going to see that Cham is black. Why? Because Midrash tells us, other Midrashim tell us that Cham became black because since Cham was Mishamish in the Teva, so he got a Einish that he became black. Right? So what's the bracha? On the contrary, it's going to be a klala. It's not a bracha. And then, what does this have to do with the lands that they're getting, that Hashem is bequeathing to them as their inheritance? No, it's the next line. I didn't read it yet. So Rabbi Leo Meizra explains what's happening over here is like a few things. It's saying Berach L'Shem Ulvanov, Hashem blessed Shem Ulvanov, Shahayu Shchayim Minayim. Let's read it, or Shahayu Toivim Minayim. They were Shchayim Minayim. But the marriage is not telling us what the bracha was. It was a certain bracha that Hashem gave them. And then also the Inchilam called Eretz Noishavas, Hashem bequeathed to them a certain place, Eretz Noishavas. And that's going to be the formula for all three.
By Miriam and Aaron, when they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, they said, why did he marry them?
Oh, so we'll get to that. Meretz Hashem. Actually, whatever, yeah. But, yeah, so that's that pshat. It's called Eretz Noishavas. And Hashem bequeathed to them Eretz Noishavas, the very Geshmaka land, which that's the lashon of the pasuk in Parshas Beshalach. It says that they ate man for 40 years and over there Eretz Noishavas means Eretz Yisrael. So here it seems to be saying that that Hashem gave to Shem Eretz Yisrael. That's what Hashem gave to Shem. The Canaanim had Eretz Yisrael, and Canaanim weren't from Shem. So we're going to answer you that Rashi says in Parshas Lech Lecha that Canaani Oz Ba'aretz, the Canaanim were conquering land of Eretz Canaan from the descendants of Shem. Really, Canaan was supposed to go, what's called Eretz Canaan or Eretz Yisrael was supposed to go to Shem. And the Canaanim, who are descendants of Ham, decided they want it, so they started conquering it. And then Hashem gave it back to descendants of Shem when he gave it to Klal Yisrael. But really, the whole time it was supposed to go to Shem. What does it mean that Shem was Shchorim V'noyim? The Radal says that this is an allusion to the Lashon of the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says, Shchor Ani V'nova, I'm black and I'm beautiful. You have to know exactly how that answers the question. Chazal tells us all kinds of interesting truth. What does it mean? Shchor Ani V'nova, like, it means like, I'm black. More or less, the Mahalach is that I'm black, meaning I'm dirty in one inyan, but I'm beautiful in a different inyan. Whether it means that they became, I think of Sadigain and the Targum over there say, you know, like, we became dirty by the Cheda Ego, but we became beautiful when we accepted the Seres Adibris. And the more or less, the Midrashim, wherever we go with different Shatim like that, that we're dirty with, that we don't have proper intentions when we do mitzvahs, but we're beautiful that we actually do the actions of the mitzvahs. There's different explanations to explain a certain dichotomy that we find by Klal Yisrael, that they're, you know, guilty on the one hand, but also innocent on the other hand.
Couldn't the word black mean like saginar?
What?
Saginar.
Saginar?
Saginar.
That's what he's trying to say, but I didn't let him say it yet.
Yeah. So why couldn't you say that? I mean,
you could. Maybe. We'll see. Lacham, Berach Lacham Uvanav, Shehem Shchayim Karev. Hashem blessed Cham and his descendants, who they happen to have been black like a raven. Because we know that ravens are black birds. The Radal wants to change the gears from Shchorim Ka'orev to Shchorim Ka'orim. Shchorim Ka'or means disgusting. So instead of Shchorim Ka'orev, black like a raven, it should say Shchorim Ka'orim, black and disgusting. That's what the Radal wants to change the gears to that. And he said, even if you don't change the gears, Shchorim Ka'orev is Lashon of a Pasuk in Shir Shirim, Shchorim Ka'orev. But he says he wants to say Shchorim Ka'orim, black and disgusting. He says there's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Mem, which was quoted by Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha, that says that when they went to Mitzrayim, so he wanted Dafka to make sure that they don't try to take Sarah, because the Mitzrayim, Rashi says, are Shchorim V'Ki'orim, black and disgusting, and they're going to see a beautiful woman and they're going to want her, and therefore he said she should say that she's his sister so that they won't kill him. Right? That's what Rashi says. Rashi brings this lashon of Shchorim Ka'orim. Now, one time I had a good friend of mine, his name was Chester Robinson, and he was originally from Jamaica. He was Megair, his name was Yosef Robinson. He was actually killed, he was actually murdered a few years back in Flatbush. But this was back when he lived in L.A. Chester Robinson, a good friend of mine from Jamaica. He was a black fellow. He was actually involved in the rap industry before he became Jewish, and he became from whatever. He was a very interesting guy. So he once came to me with his Rashi, and he asked me, he said, Rashi is a racist. So why? Because Rashi says that the Mitzrayim were black and ugly. So you see that Rashi saying that black people are ugly. So I said, no. I didn't know what to say because he caught me off guard. But I said, no, that's not true. You have to be medayic in Rashi. Rashi says black and ugly. So you see that you can be black and not ugly, right? That's why he's saying both. So that answer satisfied him for a few minutes. But as you said, Rashi in Parshas Behalai Yisra, when it says in the pasuk of Fatadaber Miriam, so Rashi says that Isha Kushis doesn't mean black, rather like a sarcastic way of saying that she was beautiful. So there Rashi says that Kushis means ugly. Just ugly is a nice is a way of saying beautiful without like making a ayin hara. He didn't know that Rashi, but he asked me about Rashi in Lech Lecha. He asked me about the Rashi in Baal Yisra later on. Me and him worked through the sugya. We wrote a whole essay about it. This was many years ago. Search on Google, Moses' black wife in quotations and put the words Reb Chaim, and you'll find an essay that I wrote about this topic. It happens to be, for some reason, it's the most popular essay that I wrote on the internet. But
Miriam Yitzchak, right? He wasn't black, was he?
What?
Midian. The tribe of Midian, they weren't black.
Impossible.
Pashtus not.
B'nai Keturah.
They were white.
B'nai Keturah, they're B'nai Avram of B'nai Keturah.
Look, I'll ask you, whatever. It's very complicated. Look, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Yisrael, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu saved Yisrael's daughters, and they came home early from feeding the sheep. So Yisrael asked his daughters, "What are you doing here?" So they said, "Ish Mitzri hislanu miyad aroyim." An Egyptian man saved us. So now Rashi said that the Mitzrim are black, right? So they said an Ish Mitzri. So was Moshe Rabbeinu white or black? They thought he was an Egyptian. So how did he look that made it that they thought he was an Egyptian?
One second, he could be dressed like a...
And then why would it be different from what they were themselves?
Let's see his face now.
I don't know. What?
Maybe we told him.
So then why would Hashem says that it was the clothing?
Clothing. Where are you from? Egypt.
So somebody should have said the clothing, somebody should have said the language, but if he's like a black man, if he's a white man, and we know that the Egyptians are black, right? So then why would you think he's Egyptian? He's the wrong color. He's an albino? You want to say he's an albino? Okay.
Could he look like an Egyptian?
Sorry. He looked like an Egyptian, even though... Maybe.
He was good in an Egyptian palace.
Look, even though everyone in his room is white, we have, you know, we look different.
Oh.
The tones are different, though. His tone and his tone. My...
The shades of white. The different shades of white. You're right. So we'll get to the Mefurish Mishnah and Mesachos Nagoyim in a few minutes. Few moments, not minutes. Okay. Berach liyafes. Hashem gave a bracha to Yafes. Ubanav kulam levanim shehem kulam levanim viyafim. Hashem gave a bracha to Yafes and to his descendants, who they're all white and very good looking. Yaftalikim liyafes. They're very beautiful. Vehinchila midbar besodais. I'm sorry, I skipped the word, sentence. Berach l'cham l'vanu shechem shem shechem ka'ariya v'inchilam chayf hayam. Hashem bequeathed to the descendants of Cham chayf hayam, the sea, the area of the sea. So the Radal goes through, let's say, the oldest son the oldest son of Canaan, who was the youngest son of Cham, was named Sidon. There's a city Sidon over there in Lebanon. Right? So those are the Lebanese, the ancient Lebanese over there, what we call the Phoenicians, the Egyptians. All the Phoenicians are, let's say, the Plishtim, which are descendants of Mitzrayim, who are also descendants of Cham. All these people, they lived along the coast, right? Mitzrayim, Gaza, Lebanon, all along the coast of the Mediterranean. Now the question is, what about the rest of the Bnei Cham? But that's what it says there. Hinchilam chayf hayam. They got the edge of the sea. The Radal says in parentheses, in small letters, he says an interesting thing. He says maybe Hashem, it was a hashkacha pratis that Hashem put the descendants of Cham next to the sea, because where they live was usually areas where the sun is very hot, which is why they're black. Which is a shtickle steer to a different understanding, but that's why they live next to the sea, so that can help cool them off a little bit. That's what the Radal wants to say. It's a shtickle chiddush. Right. Then he says, Bnei Yafes, which are kulam levan and viyavim, which are beautiful and white, v'nechilam midbar v'soles, and Hashem bequeathed to them different deserts and fields, which the Radal says is talking about the northern areas of the world. And he says that basically the ancient inhabitants of Europe and Asia, or at least northern Asia, were Bnei Yafes, the Germanic tribes, etc. Bnei Yafes. So that's what they got. V'inchilam midbar v'ela hanacholis shenchilam. These are the nacholis that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to the sons.
Where is Scandinavian music world, right?
What?
Scandinavians.
Yeah. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Nagoyim. The Mishnah says that there's a certain objective shade of white that's called a tzaras. That is a shade of tzaras. Now, depending on who the person is, that shade of white will sometimes look lighter than his skin and sometimes look darker than his skin. Nagoyim Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. Baharas Aza Nearest Bagarmoini Keha. A Beheres Aza, a bright Beheres, will look dim on a Germoini. By the way, in modern Hebrew, the word Keha means strong, means a sharper color. And in Lashon HaKodesh, it means a weaker color. But v'hakeha b'kushi azam. But when it's on a kushi, it looks stronger. This, which, because a Germanian, the Mishnah is saying, which we're understanding means a German, let's say, German is very, very white. So this shade of white, which is a beheres, is going to look darker. Klape the rest of the skin of the German, which is even whiter than this. But on a kushi, it says, this shade of white is going to look very, very bright. It's not going to look dim because the rest of his skin is darker. So this is going to look whiter than it is. But the halacha is that no matter on who it is, it's the same halacha, that's considered saras. Rabbi Shmuel Loimer b'nei Yisrael ani kapagosan harehen ka'eshkara le'ishkarem v'le'levonim ele b'neinim. Because b'nei Yisrael are not like the Germanim and they're not like the Kushim. They're somewhere in the middle. They're not white, they're not black, they're somewhere in the middle. So that's what it means if you want to say that, that's what it means in the Medrash over here in Pirkei Zeblazer. It says that the Bnei Shem are Shcharim V'Noyim. What it means that Bnei Shem are Shcharim, it doesn't mean that they're literally black. It just means that they're more black than Yefes, who are Mamish white. But they're not as black as what we say black by Chah. That's what the Radal says. Now there's a famous Eliyahu Rabba from the Vilna Gaon on this Mishnah. The Eliyahu Rabba says that these three different shades, let's say, of black, white, and like in the middle, represent, you know, Shem, Cham, and Yefes. And we know that Shem, Cham, and Yefes went in three directions in the world. He says that Shem went eastwards, let's say Asia, that way. Cham went southwards, Africa, and Yefes went northwards to Europe. Now, who went westwards? There is no west, because if our point of reference is Eretz Yisrael, it's the west of the sea. There is nothing there. What about the Americas? I don't know. It's an interesting question. What to do with the Americas?
They went northward. So what?
What?
No.
What the Americas? What's his name? Menashe ben Israel famously said that the Americas are the, what's it called, the Aseres HaShvatim. Others want to say that it's Bnei Keturah. We have to know exactly how the indigenous people of America fit in. And Australia, where the indigenous people of Australia fit in. Was Australia part of Africa at some point? Or Madagascar? I don't know. But this is what the Vilna Gaon says. The Vilna Gaon repeats this pshat in his Pirush Ederes Eliyo on Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, the Ederes Eliyo. But there's a lot of mistakes in that shtickle. So when you try to read it, it's not going to make sense unless you take the Vilna Gaon and the Nevi'im and say that this is what the Vilna Gaon means to say, and then filter through what he's saying in his Pirush and Divrei Yomim based on what he says in the Nevi'im. Otherwise, it's very hard to understand it. Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk says that Noach had Shem, Cham, and Yefes. And the Vilna Gaon says a third way of explaining what the pasuk of Shem, Cham, and Yefes is, right? We said that it's either the birth order or the order of Chochmah. The Gaon is saying that a third pshat is that it's going in geographical order, which I understand means that if you're going in Eretz Yisrael and you're facing eastwards, so first you're going to do eastwards. That's what's called Shem, and then you go to the right because the right is more chashuv than the left. So then you get Cham because that's south, and then if you go to your right again, you get west, but we said that there's nothing in the west, so there's nothing to say. And then you go right again, you're going to, what's it called? You're going to Europe, which is north. That's what it would seem the going is saying, a third pshat in Shem, Cham, and Yefes. Okay.